We want to talk about firsts. Your first job, your first car, your first kiss, your first date, and all that really cool. Maybe first day of school. Firsts. 312-981-7200. And what prompted this is this interesting story. It's a study that reveals the most common first jobs among the world's richest people. A report released by recruitment company Aaron Wallace uncovered what the top 100 billionaires did in their early years. So Aaron Wallace identified 15 and the traits of those jobs that could have helped. So let's figure out if we're going to be, like our first job, if we're going to be billionaires. Dan, again, remind everybody what your first job was.
I was a research assistant, group we've talked about in the past here in Chicago Authors, a scholarship program I was with. They set up summer jobs for us, and my job was to help a PhD student research his thesis. So he was writing about communism and, in the McCarthy era and its intrusion into the educational system. And so I helped him identify the papers that could help him be used as references and talking points within that thesis.
I don't know why I let you go first on what your first job was, because you're going to make us all look like idiots.
I basically just used Yahoo because that was the main search engine at the time. So that's all I did.
You did searches on Yahoo?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a thesis database or something. I forget what the name is. So.
Now, judging on the rest of the crew of this show, the only one that's got the possibility of becoming a billionaire would be Dan Shagrew. That would be my guess. Esmeralda, remind everybody what your first job was.
As a hostess at Baker Square.
Yes.
A week.
With the carpet sweeper. For a week? You lasted a week?
Yeah, and I was like, I don't really have to do this. I'm out.
And how long before your next job?
I think I was at, I was at the Tweeter Center.
Usher at the Tweeter
Probably
Center.
Probably a year or two.
Okay. All right. But the hostess at the Baker Square.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Don't really need to do this.
Did you at least steal a carpet sweeper?
No. Just be easier to pick everything up with my hands.
Yeah. My first job was I worked at a hot dog stand for a couple of days, it was a hot dog stand, and I just left because like the owner was a sort of, I didn't know this, I used to eat there all the time when I was younger. I didn't know until I started working there that the owner was a sort of a raging cokehead who was sleeping with a 16-year-old girl that worked there. So I said, I'll be leaving now. But then after that, I worked at McDonald's. That was my first job. So, here are some of the first jobs or the early work of people who went on to become billionaires. Number 15 is translator. Being a translator requires a fairly specialized skill set and can pay as low as $24,000 per year in the U.S. But one of the 53 billionaires got their start as a translator. It's safe to assume the individual in question came from a privileged background while they learned a language the rest of us slopped a mop bucket around. Yeah, so, I don't know. So this guy's first job was as a translator. Like, he didn't... Now, a lot of these people, here's what it says. According to the report, 30 of 100 started their careers either inheriting or working for the family business. 17 of them immediately began their own companies. But then the remaining 53, like everyone else, started by getting a job. So 30 of 100 started their careers inheriting work. But they've got to come from a pretty good background anyway. If this guy just started out as a translator. And we were all like 16 when we got our first jobs. All right, how about this? A manufacturer. The report says manufacturer, which can mean many things. More than likely factory worker fighting their way up from the factory floor to the top of the income distribution curve, and evidently at least one billionaire in the top 100 pulled it off. So working in a factory. Anybody ever work in a factory? No? Dan, you've never worked in a factory.
No, never in a factory.
Esmeralda?
Mm-mm.
I come from a long line of factory workers. I do. Absolutely. How about this one? Politician. That was their first job, was a politician. Who becomes an elected official before earning their first paycheck? It's hard to imagine someone's first job being a politician, but it happens, and you can assume it's someone from a privileged background with plenty of connections. And on top of that, it's got to be an intense way to kick off your career, making decisions with a lot on the line. Another, you got to be pretty privileged to get out of the gate and be a politician, right? Unless you're, you know, are they counting a school council? Like, I was secretary of school council. Do you guys do any of that stuff? Dan, were you a school council dude?
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't know if we really had a student body president or anything like that.
No?
No, I mean, we had a ton of clubs, and I was, you know, things within it. But I'm trying to think. I don't know if we ever
Now, were you in social clubs or academic clubs?
Mostly. Define social.
Well, social clubs would be like, well, I'm trying to, because academic clubs are just like, you know, the Spanish club and the,
right,
you know, the chess club, you know.
Yeah, like, so like,
the math club, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I was the secretary for the National Honor Society. I was the secretary for the theater club, and I was the editor-in-chief of the newspaper.
All right, so one of those is a social club.
One of those would be a social club, yeah. And the other ones would be academic.
Right. So. Okay, what about you, Esmeralda? Were you in any clubs or on the student body?
No.
Yeah.
I only did the newspaper, and I sold ads.
You sold ads?
Yeah.
In the high school newspaper?
Yeah.
To what? To like just like local
prom,
businesses?
And, yeah, like when prom came around, right. It would be dress stores and stuff like that.
Oh, I see. So did you get like leads like Glengarry Glen Ross?
No.
They didn't give you like a box of leads for you to call,
no, but I think,
cold call people?
No, but it would be a thing of like you just have to know like, oh, prom is coming. So then you have to
figure
call
out
the
like
people
the,
first.
The local dress shop in Joliet?
Right. So you have to call them before the other people did.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much it, though.
That's all it was. Yeah. I was not on any. I wrote movie reviews for the newspaper, for the high school newspaper. And for 1 year, I did one play. So I was part of the theater group for like 1 year, basically. But that was it. And that, but by the way, that sort of paved the way for what I did in real life for a while. I still do movie review. Don't do as much theater as I used to, but wow. I'm just thinking about that right now. That really was a precursor to what I would do to get what I'd get paid to do. Well, I didn't get paid to do theater. But yeah. So every Monday morning, I remember everybody would come up to me, like, you know, if I saw people in the cafeteria, because I'd skip classes, especially like in senior year. I spent more time hanging out in the caf than I did any place than I did anything else. I was such a terrible student in high school, especially senior year, man. Senior year was ridiculous. But every single person would come, what movie did you see this weekend? And it's kind of the same thing that happens when I'm on the radio on Monday morning. Hey, what did you think? So I've been practicing this stuff for 35 years, man. Well, I've been actually doing it professionally for 30, it'll be 33 years in May. Good Lord. All right, I'm old. Okay, what was your first job? 312-981-7200, your first job, and then we're going to open it up a little bit to your first car and your first kiss, your first date, all that stuff. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Triple Play Thursday. You made Triple Play Thursday. Thursday, it's triple. And Kathy requested Jay and the Americans. That's She Cried. And that is the triple of the Triple Play triple for Jay and the Americans this morning. Hello, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. And for the first time in a few days, it's dry on Michigan Avenue. A little windy out there. The flags across the street are whipping around pretty good in the little wind corridor over there. So how's everybody doing this morning? We're talking about firsts, and we would love to hear from you. What was your first car? How'd your first date go? What about your first kiss? And your first job, which is the one that kicked off this whole conversation, because they did a study that revealed the most common first jobs among the world's richest people. And they went with 100 billionaires and what they did in their early years and what their first jobs were. And so far we've got translator, manufacturer, which is a factory worker, and a politician. And then these people who started out with those jobs ended up being billionaires. So maybe there's hope for other people out there to become billionaires with their first jobs. And we've got some texts coming in talking about their first jobs. Tim in the 309 area code says, first job, newspaper route carrier. We have got a lot of newspaper route carriers who listen to this show. And how you guys doing out there? I hope you're staying safe and warm as you deliver the news to everybody. Okay. And 773 area code, first job, I was an usher at Wrigley. That's got to be a fun job. Get to be an usher at Wrigley. And I know that you're supposed to be basically paying attention to what the crowd is doing and helping people to their seats and making sure people are, you know, sort of behaving and all that stuff. But you get to work in Wrigley Field, which I think would be pretty awesome. And you get to see all the games. Now, Esmeralda, when you were an usher at the Tweeter Center,
mm-hmm.
were you able to, like, because were you one of those people who were down by the pavilion with your back to the stage?
Everybody had to have their back to the stage.
Everybody had to have, yeah, exactly. Everybody had to have their backs to the stage. Did you ever turn around and take a peek?
I mean, you can turn around.
Yeah.
They're not monsters.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to for too long. And anyway, people are walking by you because you're there to check tickets and stuff. So
right.
People are always coming through.
Were there ever, like, shows that you were thrilled to hear? You know, you could hear, you know, you couldn't help but hear the shows.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that I was very surprised by that I would enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like I got to see Depeche Mode and I didn't know that
they rule.
I knew that many songs. I was like, really?
Yeah.
So, and you know, like the nicest audience had to have been Chris Isaak's audience. Like everyone sat and everyone's very polite.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What was the worst audience?
Probably for Ozfest.
Oh boy!
Because at one point they had to move us, so where the seats end and the lawn begins.
Yeah,
they couldn't have ushers there because people were throwing bottles filled with mud.
Oh God!
Into the seats, so they
into
had
the
to
pavilion.
Keep, so yeah, into the pavilion. So they had to. They
man.
Moved the ushers from that section, and then I think a little further in as well.
Oh.
You couldn't be there because people were throwing bottles.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can see that being a little not fun. Wow. All right. I like that the Chris Isaak fans were the nicest.
Yeah, they all sat down.
They were quiet.
It was weird.
And just like, oh.
Because you would think like people would be standing and like dancing.
Yeah.
No, everyone's just seated.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Ozfest. Do you remember who was on the bill?
Oh, I don't. There's so many. I remember seeing. Well, this was after the fact.
Yeah.
When actually I was working promotions for the Loop, I got to sit down and watch Ozfest, and I watched Ozzy's set, and I was just like, "What is he doing up there?" Because he was just jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah,
he was doing reps.
Yeah. What around what year was this?
2000. Probably it had to have been 2004, 2005.
Okay. All right.
No. Yeah, 2004 or 2005.
Okay, so right after the success of the reality show, then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also saw Dio.
Yeah.
Or not Dio. I'm sorry. Iron Maiden.
Oh, Maiden. Okay.
And I was amazed by the monster.
Eddie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I also came. I was like, wait, how is this? What? Because every time I would see an Iron Maiden shirt, I always thought they were very scary, and I thought it was going to be like. Very scary death metal.
No, it's Eddie.
No, not in the least. I'm like, this is okay.
Yeah, Iron Maiden rules. No, that's good old Eddie. He's just, you know, he's in a different, you know, sort of in a different
right. Those
form
shirts,
on every.
Those shirts, though, give off a whole different vibe than what the actual show and the music are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when they play some jams, but they're not, no, it's not like crazy hardcore death metal. You know what I mean? It's not like. You know, but, Maiden's a fun band to see live. They really are, because they do some crazy stuff. And you know, Spinal Tap takes a little pot shot at Maiden in there, and that's one of the inspirations for their for what they make.
Yeah,
fun
I
of.
Mean, that's what I thought. Immediately, I was like, oh. So yeah, this is where Spinal Tap got everything. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I see.
what's really funny is if you see any of the, like, there's a special edition of there are many special editions of This is Spinal Tap, but if you ever see interviews with musicians, especially people who did metal, who were in the metal, they were like, man, it was painful to watch Spinal Tap because that was us. they got it so right. Like, you know, you're laughing at this movie is because these guys are, you know, like the music is ridiculous and the show is idiotic and these guys are morons. And then you watch it and all, you know, like it, for every single real musician loves This is Spinal Tap and also, you know, is embarrassed by it because they're like, yeah, I see myself in every frame of that of that movie. So there's a lot of, they were inspired by Maiden. There's no, and Zeppelin was a big inspiration for them. The, you know, Christopher Guest and those guys, there's a Zeppelin concert movie called Song Remains the Same, which is also a live album that they released. And the Zeppelin concert movie, Song Remains the Same, came out. And the movie's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. And so, you know, the Christopher Guest and the other guys, Michael McKean and those guys, they saw This is Spinal, you know, or sorry, they saw This is Spinal Tap. They saw Song Remains the Same and were like, how sort of ridiculous and pretentious are these guys? Like completely over the top, ridiculous and pretentious. And so that sort of attitude and the kind of stage shows that Maiden did inspired Spinal Tap. Well, it's good that you got to see Maiden live. That you get, it's one of those things that I suggest people do at least once. Got to see a big blow up Eddie stomping around on stage. That's always fun.
Yeah, I got to see Journey.
Yeah,
I got to see Santana. I saw Santana.
Oh yeah,
live.
Yeah, that's good.
When Moby had that festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
Play festival yeah. That came around a couple times. Of course, I worked the Warped Tours.
Oh god,
those are always funny.
So were people skateboarding down the aisles and stuff?
No, they didn't have that open.
Oh okay.
As you know,
yes.
Warped Tours are only in the parking lot and in the
oh that's
in
right.
The gravelly.
That's right. I forgot about
in
that.
The gravelly front area.
Oh god. All right. We got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. We're talking about first job, first kiss, first car, first date, and jobs are what we're talking about in terms of our first job is going to indicate whether or not we're going to be billionaires. All right. News is up next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on a Thursday morning. Triple Play Thursday. Hear me? Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. That means one artist, three songs. 773 area code. Pick some Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It's Turning Point. And we'll hear a couple more because it's Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We are talking about firsts. First jobs, first date, first car, first kiss. All that stuff. We've been talking about first jobs a lot. And if you want to jump in with your thoughts or comments, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Justin Kaufman sitting in for Steve Cochran this morning, starting at 6 for your morning drive. All righty then. We got some texts that have come in. If you want to jump in with your first job or any other firsts that you would like to talk about, we got some texts here. 312-981-7200. 773 area code says, good old-fashioned babysitter. Yeah. John Hansen. Oh, Esmeralda, John Hansen has chimed in with his first job. And John Hansen said, Little League baseball umpire taught me how to deal with insane adults at a very young age. Yeah, I could never do that. I don't know, John, I don't know how you did it, man. Because, you know, some of those parents, some of those fathers are lunatics at those Little League games. 847 area code says, my first job was working at Village Pharmacy in West Dundee. I was 14 years old, and I swept floors and did general maintenance around the store. My second first jobs, unpaid, though, were movie and television reviewer for the school newspaper. Esmeralda, did you do some babysitting when you were younger?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Some of the neighborhood kids.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's go back to some of the first jobs of people who are now billionaires. Construction worker. This blue-collar job is hard on your body and generally doesn't pay very well. The average hourly rate for an entry-level construction worker is $13.80 an hour. However, a construction job can inspire serious career moves. Many people end up in cushy union gigs and make a nice living on construction sites, as two billionaires here on this can attest. Another billionaire started out as a mechanic. A mechanic is a blue-collar, hands-on job that requires a specialized set of skills and knowledge. It's a pursuit. You can begin at a young age and suddenly find yourself doing professionally, and that seems the case for two of the richest people in the world who started out as mechanics. So, we got more here. All right. Dan, what was your first car?
It was the beloved Monte Carlo that we talk about so often.
Yes.
I forget what year, to be honest with you. Maybe a 98.
A 98 Monte Carlo, when you were part of the Baker Square Monte Carlo gang.
That is right.
And how many of your friends? Three guys?
There was three of us total, yes.
That had Monte Carlos.
Right.
And they would you knew when you guys were at Baker Square, it could be three Monte Carlos parked right out in front.
That was a calling card for us, yes. I could tell who was there by which Monte Carlos had already parked.
Right. Well, that's always, I mean, it's, you know, those hangout things, too. Like, we used to hang out, my friends and I, in the 80s, you know, mid and late 80s, we used to hang out at Demetrio's, which is now a Walgreens on the corner of Montrose and Central. And across the street from there, Toots is gone. Across the street from there used to be Toots, which was like a hot dog stand slash ice cream place. And so they were right across the street from each other. We would hang out if you were out somewhere, you knew that at least, because there were like 10 or 12 of us that hung out there, and you knew if you were out where you could find other people. You just go right to Demetrio's and you walk in. At least three or four people would be there every night, and we hung out there all the time. We ate a lot of gyro, and then we'd go, hey, you want to go across the street to Toots and get an ice cream? And we'd hang out at Toots because you could sit outside at Toots. All at Montrose, the hopping area of Montrose and Central. That's where we hung out all the time. So, but we didn't all have the same car. That's the only thing. None of us had a Monte Carlo. I don't think any of us had a Monte Carlo.
They were made back then, right?
Oh my God! Come on, man.
I only bought my Monte Carlo because my friend was selling it. I did not know.
Yeah.
Monte
Carlo was the Monte Carlos were around in the ancient 80s, Dan. Yes, they were. We started hanging out there around 85-ish, and we hung out there pretty much every night for about 5 years, all the way through like 89, 90. So, yeah, we didn't take a wheel, you know, we didn't take a horse and buggy
as someone who's owned Camaros and things like that.
No, not a Camaro, Firebird.
Firebird, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That was my first car.
Yeah,
my first car was a 77 Firebird. You, obviously, 1977 Firebird. That car spent a lot of time in the shop. That thing needed a lot of repairs. It was one of those cars that was just prone to be thrown right back into the shop and be worked on. Esmeralda, what's your first car?
An 89 Volkswagen Cabriolet.
And how was that for you?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was sad to see it go, but the back does something was going on where the back wheels were not. It was too much. It was too expensive to fix.
Yeah. Yeah. After a while, when you start sinking tons of money into a car, you got to like sell it or get rid of it or something. That's what happened with my Firebird, man. Seriously, that thing was in the shop all the time, and I was blowing tires constantly on the expressway. Tires were blowing. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But the car that I actually gave to Victory Auto Wreckers was my 86 Ford Escort, which I had. That was the car I had the longest, was my 86 Ford Escort. And let me tell you something, Esmeralda. You want to pick up chicks if you're a guy? Have an 86 Ford Escort. It just oozes sexy. Hatchback. It was a hatchback, Esmeralda. You can't top that. A gray 86 Ford Escort hatchback with a cassette player. Oh, man. I had chicks lined up outside that car. Oh, man. All right. Here's Paula on WGN. Hi, Paula.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a first job.
Okay.
Brookfield Zoo.
What did you do at Brookfield Zoo?
I started freshman year in high school, spring break, so I wasn't even 15.
Uh-huh.
Sold souvenirs.
Okay.
In one of the concession stands, and then when I turned 18, I was a zookeeper in the children's zoo during the summer.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That must have been fun, huh?
It was amazing to get Teamster wages for getting paid for playing with baby animals. From farm animals like chicks and ducks and sheep and stuff, all the way up to baby wolves, baby tigers, baby jaguars, baby lions. It was great.
That's so cool. Now, what do you do now, Paula?
Actually, I've been in human resources, and I've done training, and I'm a career counselor.
Oh, okay. Did you your experience at Brookfield Zoo, especially working as a zookeeper, you know, did you ever have aspirations to stay in that field?
No, because I wasn't, like, actually I was a journalism major in college in public relations, so my dream job was to go back to the zoo and work in public relations.
Oh, I see.
My career took a different turn.
Oh, okay. Well, but that's great, though. That's a great story. Paula, thanks for the call.
All right, thank cool. you. Bye-bye.
See ya. That's cool. Getting paid to hang out with a bunch of animals, you know? Well, we've done that, Esmeralda, because we've both bartended. Hey, hold on a minute now. Wait a second. Hold
all right,
it.
All right.
See what I did there? Animals. See?
That's a good one.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, there's this plaque right here. I'm pointing. You know that?
Is there?
There's a plaque right here with my name on it. That's why.
What?
Because of the stuff like that.
Huh.
Because I make jokes about animals being in bars. That's why. All right. Hey, we got a break here for weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play. 773 area code requesting a little Tom Petty. Keeping me alive. How are you? Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate studio, the Showcase studio right here on Michigan Avenue. And we're here until 5 a.m. Skip Skipley is on the way. We can tell he's close. He's close, and I believe the cats are starting to gather out here on Michigan Avenue getting ready. And Streets and Sand are out switching all the garbage can to the old-fashioned metal cans with the lids, you know, so that the cats can knock them over. And we'll play a little pop-up video. It's based on the great VH1 TV show, where we are quizzed by Skip Skipley, Esmeralda and I are quizzed by Skip Skipley about very specific videos and songs and stuff relating to those songs. And that's coming up. But right now we're talking about firsts. First jobs, first car, first date, first kiss, if you want to jump in on that. And we've been talking about this survey that's been done with really rich, unbelievably rich billionaires and what their first jobs were and how that help them get along. But we've got a bunch of texts come in. We'll get back to some of the billionaire jobs here. 847 area code says, my first job was at Hoff's Five and Dime. I made $1 an hour. Wow.
I worked in the Bradley Sports Information Department, and it was a paid internship scholarship thing for my junior year, and they asked me to stick around. Senior said, hey, you know, we'll pay you here and there, but it's not an official job, but like you gain the experience, so if you want to do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
And I said sure, whatever. And so like my first paycheck was like $8, and then my next paycheck like 2 months later was like $3.13, and then my last one was literally 99 cents. So I walked into one of my coworkers and I said, hey, and I showed him and I'm like, little help. And he took a penny out of his desk. He taped it to the check.
That's funny, man. You know, what's really funny is I watched High Fidelity a few weeks ago. It was on cable. And I got through as much as I could before I turned it off. But my friend Matt O'Neill is in it. I've told this story before. Matt O'Neill is the guy who played the Jack Black role in the play that I adapted called The Vinyl Shop. He played Barry. My friend Matt O'Neill, he played Barry. And actually auditioned for Stephen Frears for the role of Barry. Stephen Frears, the director, wanted my friend Matt, but Cusack insisted on Jack Black. And so, yeah. Anyway, but they gave Matt a role. Matt is in the movie. He is the guy who where Cusack says, I'm going to sell 5 Beta Band CDs right now. And he puts the Beta Band CD. You guys know the scene I'm talking about? Esmeralda, you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Puts it on. And my friend Matt is the guy who like starts bopping his head. And he goes, hey, man, who is this? And they go, it's the Beta Band. He goes, ah, this is pretty good. So that's Matt. That's the part that Matt had. He played the Jack Black role in my show on stage. So he had a nice big role. But in the movie, he's that. But he is wearing the stupid jacket that he wore as Barry in the movie. So for the few hundred people, you know, who went to see High Fidelity and recognized, you know, Matt wearing that stupid, because he wore this stupid jacket, and the costume department in the movie said they allowed him to wear it. And also, what's really funny is like the first when Matt showed up to shoot, because he shot. I think that scene took like a couple of days to shoot. So when he showed up on the first day to shoot, Stephen Frears goes, oh, look, Jack, it's the guy who originated your role. Matt's got 2 lines in the movie. So anyway, as I was watching High Fidelity, I posted a picture of Matt from that scene. I posted it on my Facebook page, and I wrote, here is the best part of High Fidelity. And so Matt sees it, and he posts his latest residual check from High Fidelity, and it was for $6.15. That's what made me think of it. It's like you get these small checks, but he's still getting paid. I mean, that movie's like 18 years old. But his last residual was $6.15. And of course, those vary depending on how often the movie is showed. And it was on cable that night that I was watching it. So I was like, well, you're going to get paid now, too, because it's on. But it was he posted a $6.15 check. $6.15 check. 815 area code says, my first job was being a Dog and Suds car hop. Tips were lousy and the window trays were heavy, impossible to carry without sloshing the drinks all over the food. I wonder if she was on roller skates. That would make it even more difficult because, you know, they've had the car hops used to be on roller skates at the drive-ins. 779 area code. I delivered newspapers during the blizzard of 79. Oh, good Lord. If you weren't alive during the blizzard of 79, that's quite an unbelievable accomplishment if you delivered newspapers during that. Dino says, my first car was a 66 Pontiac GTO, and I had it for 33 years. Good for you, man. GTO, that's a good car. 708 area code. I was a potato chip inspector for Yoho Food Products in Armitage at Cicero. We watched chips come out of a fryer and discarded the overcooked ones and could eat all I wanted. Just watching a conveyor belt full of potato chips. 630 area code says, I worked at my local McDonald's for my first job. We took orders on paper with pencils, polyester shirts, and paper hats. I was taking vocational printing classes and worked a few hours in a local print shop. I had ink residue under my fingernails, so I never handled the food. Hey, when I worked at McDonald's, we wore polyester shirts and paper hats, too.
What color were they?
Brown. Like brown. Brown with, you know, the yellow. They were brown and yellow. It was, right, like really seriously the worst colors you could.
Right, because then they transitioned into the white, right?
I think so. Yeah. The entire time that I worked there, it was brown with the yellow arches with the yellow highlights. It was awful. And they were polyester. You'd come home and you would be stinking of onions and, you know, ugh. And I worked at Jewel. We had to wear a tie. We couldn't wear jeans. We had to wear like regular, you know, we had pants. We couldn't wear gym shoes. We had to wear a tie and an apron. We wore an apron with a tie. You go to Jewel now, they're just running around. You know, they got a shirt that says Jewel. My dad just wears a shirt that says Jewel, and he can wear whatever shoes he wants. What the hell, man? Gary says, first car was a 75 Plymouth Duster. My first job was a school custodian. 847 says, my first car was an 86 Cutlass Supreme. When my parents had a Cutlass Supreme. I used to jump train tracks with it, and it never died. Thing was built like a tank. You used to jump train tracks with it. Wow. Tom says, my first and only job was at the Jewels. Started in a store, now in the distribution center, 47 years in October. Good for you, Tom. Alfredo says that Wendy Snyder worked at Brookfield Zoo. Oh, she did? Wow, I didn't know that. 708 Erico says, my first job title was personalizer. I monogrammed toys for Marshall Field at Christmas time. We did sleds, slate boxes, and small chairs that converted into step stools. When we ran out of work, we would package the items for shipping. When we ran out of that, we took turns riding the conveyor belt. It was a pretty good time for 16-year-olds. I ended up as a CPA. Oh, good. Tim says, my first car was an 82 Mercury Cougar. The whole car shook rather violently when it would get above 60 miles per hour. Well, you're not supposed to go above 60 miles per hour. I was just letting you know. Okay. All right. We got to take a break here. We got the news coming up. And I believe Skip Skipley has arrived. And the cats are here. So pop-up video coming up after the news. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich is coming up next with the opening bell. And Justin Kaufman's filling in for Steve Cochran this morning at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And that was Triple Play Thursday. That will be the last Triple Play Thursday of the morning since we don't have time for a full Triple Play. 773 area code requested some Tom Petty, and that's down south. So there you go. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are about to do another edition of Pop-Up Video, which is one of our favorite games to play. It's based on the VH1 game, and Skip Skipley will be our host, and he will read from cards that are questions about a specific song / video. On one side, it's questions about the video and the song. On the other side, it's questions about pop culture related items with those songs. And we're going to jump into that, and it'll be a head-to-head battle between Esmeralda and myself. So let's see. 815 area code, just to wrap up a couple of these things. First job was working for my father at his two-stall, six-pump gas station. I worked there from 5th grade to 10th grade. First job where I got a paycheck was at a busboy at Gary County Club at 15 years old. I also worked as a starter from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., gotten free golf. 727 area code, my first car was a 77 Pacer wagon. It was green with the wood color tape on its sides. It's like, it sounds like the vacation car from National Lampoon's Vacation. Cool thing was that it had a reverse tilt hood. Mike says, my first car was a 62 Impala. It wouldn't go over 30 miles an hour. I paid $20 for it, and I had it for a year and a half. And then they played Demolition Derby in St. Philomena's parking lot with one girl that had a 68 Chevy. Man, that girl could drive, and that was the end of that car. It couldn't go over 30 miles an hour. God, he had it for a year and a half. How do you have a car for a year and a half that doesn't go over 30 miles an hour? Catherine says, first car, 64 Rambler with mashed seats. 847 area code says, my first job was working at a lunch counter at W.T. Grant store in 1969. We had to cook our own orders and make the ice cream sundaes and shakes from scratch. Oh, my God. 847 area code, I worked at Showbiz Pizza Palace. Early 80s, when they first came to Chicago, it taught me to deal with all kinds of people. Well, actually, one of the most fun jobs I've ever had. I remember Showbiz Pizza Palace. Esmeralda, do you remember Showbiz Pizza Palace?
Yes.
I think so.
I mean, it kind of all melds together.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese and Showbiz.
Yeah.